Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello. Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Seth the Shadow, Nicholas Johnson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. We're doing a relatively rare two-part episode on a story that has fascinated all of us, and hopefully you as well. It is the strange story of one Jeffrey Allen Lash. Please do listen to part one. We've got a lot of, I think we were able to do a pretty good job, fellas, mixing in some crazy and some facts. But there's enough crazy to go around, to be just brutally honest with you. This story, this part two, is going to make a lot more sense if you checked out part one first. So we're going to wait. And done through the magic of podcasting.
should we touch on a couple of the important characters just so everybody is like up to speed?
Yes. Here are the facts. Jeffrey Allen Lash dies 2015. He is 60 years old. His body is found in an abandoned SUV in his own neighborhood, which is a very posh very posh community in Los Angeles. And investigators discover a web of weird events very shortly afterwards. Two of the big players we've met are Catherine Nebron-Gorin and also her husband, for a time, Dr. Gorin. We've alluded to a couple of other folks that we're going to meet as well.
Yeah, I just want to touch on Harlan Braun as well, B-R-A-U-N. That is the attorney representing Catherine Nebron-Gorin.
Gotta ask real quick up front, like what? How did this gentleman come to live and cohabitate in the situation with Catherine and her then husband, and then manage to kind of push them apart and sort of, you know, take over the roost, as it were?
Yeah, pull a cuckoo, right? And shout, you know, unrelated. There's a fantastic kind of underrated sci-fi film called Vivarium, which
I have heard nothing but great things about it, and I have not seen it.
It's so good, you guys.
It's underrated for sure. So how did he become you know, a social cuckoo. He would have an answer for that, Noel, and his answer would be national security.
Okay, of course.
That's verbatim quote from him. So he knows the old conversational tricks, at least. That's our recap. Where we left off last, we were asking ourselves, where was the money coming from? How come his stepmother, Shirley Anderson, as well as his late father, did not know the source of his income? How come nobody seemed to know what he was really up to? And was there any truth to the bizarre, cryptic little hints he was dropping? I picture him dropping these kind of out of the blue, where they're not really necessary in conversation. Like he's at that Italian restaurant they always go to because there were regulars there. They drove separate cars, sans license plates, and they paid cash for everything. I wonder if like there's a server who is a familiar face to him, and they say, okay, you know, we our specials today. And he's like, I don't need the specials. That's not how the CIA does it. I'm like, what?
we know that that's just older food that wasn't sold last week. So we don't want your specials. Right. The CIA, that's signed the CIA.
Yeah, I think that's official policy. But there's a recap. So without further ado, let's dive right back in. Here's where it gets crazy. He does have a little bit of a paper trail. He does have a past because he's done, he's had some brushes with the law.
And he literally told his attorney that we're going to tell you this. He literally told his attorney, yeah, sorry, I got weird. We're going to do this a little different way. That's literally what this story is.
I am become weird and will operate thusly. Yeah, this attorney who represented him in 2009, he called him out on said weirdness. He described his client's behavior as very strange. Lash was charged with misdemeanor possession of a concealed weapon after being stopped by Culver City police, presumably for not having a license plate. But we don't know this for a fact. I'm sure we could find out. But still, I'm surprised he dodged that for so long. And that's according to court documents. Lash had the ammunition and the firearm in his vehicle, but because Lash had the ammo and weapons stored correctly in his vehicle, the charge was dropped.
Yeah, but that's not the weird stuff, guys. The weird stuff is that according to the attorney, Lash, after I guess contacting the law offices, said, oh, no, I'll contact you. You don't need any of my information, like none of it. Don't worry. You've got the documents, the court documents. You don't have to contact me at all. I'm not going to give you any information. What I'm going to do is call you once a day and you're going to tell me what's going on with my case. That's it. Because I'm CIA. You can't say that.
No, because I am deeply weird. Once a day seems a bit much, but the guy was nothing if not tenacious, right?
Just to be candid, it's also a clear move or a first move for a manipulative personality, right? To appoint oneself. Like there's a lot of conflation of client versus authority, right? These people are domineering. They want to be the one who knows the most or appears to. They want to be the one who has the most mystery, and they want to be the one who controls situations. That's a very lazy psychological sketch on my part, having never met Lash. But you're right. He says, look, I'm just going to call you. I've become strange. And they say, okay, well, you know, you're paying me in cash. Dope. And then there's a third lawyer who enters the fray here, enters the conversation. His name is Robert Renser. He told the local outfit KTLA that he had represented Lash for decades, for almost 20 years, and it was usually in relation to this guy's guns. And he said, look, he's just a guy's really private, which I respect, and he's just really into guns. And he added some interesting stuff here. He said, you know, as far as I know, Jeffrey really isn't out here firing guns. We may have called him Jerry in some interviews. He said he's not really out here using a bunch of these. In fact, he prides himself on how well maintained his firearms are. So I would, says Renser, consider him more of a collector. And then we've got a quote where he does say, okay, a lot of people would call him odd because of his overwhelming desire for privacy. Some people considered him a little weird.
You know,
for me, it's like you could tell he's speaking about someone who's passed, but he is speaking about it's still his client, you know, in his mind. So he doesn't want to just come out and say, I think he was crazy. He flew over the cuckoo's nest long ago.
Well, think about how you, whoever you are, imagine keeping 1,200 plus guns in very good order, well maintained. That's imagine that. Do you guys realize how difficult it is, especially if they're ever fired, to keep a gun really well maintained?
Mm-hmm.
It is not an easy. It's not an easy thing. It takes work, and now you've got 1,200 of them in your townhouse. And where do you put them to keep them really well maintained? Oh man, this just there's so many questions.
It's funny because I think for a lot of people who are adverse to firearms, it's something you may not always think about, but you got to break the machine down. You got to clean it. There are rules for good firearm maintenance that a lot of people just don't do. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? They might buy a gun and they never familiarize themselves with it. They just hide it somewhere. And that can be dangerous. They can be very dangerous very quickly. But I always like to think of cars. If you ever read the manual for a car, there's stuff that no one ever does. Like you're supposed to walk and have a 4-point safety check before you get into your car.
Great.
When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you were like, hey, hold on, I need to I need to make sure the headlights are working and the taillights are good.
I've been driving with a donut on my back tire for about a month now.
So, oh my God. No. On the highway?
I'm going to get it taken care of. Okay.
Oh,
it's just such a hassle. It's a hazard of being an adult. Where you have to do things that aren't fun and spend money on ways that don't feel like achievements.
Well, here's the thing, guys. I just had another tire pop. So this is my second one. So I'm just over it. It's Atlanta. Atlanta, the roads are garbage. Okay. Done with my road conditions rant.
I would just say I think that maintenance thing, the 4-point check is a generational thing. My grandfather, close to every time I got into a car with him when he was still alive, he would check the oil. He would walk around the vehicle. Like he would do that, especially if we were going further than just up the street.
Well, and here's another one. I did an episode on this years ago. The old question of like, when should you change your oil, right? Is it every X amount of miles? Is it every X amount of months? Theoretically, you know, what's best for your car is if you change the oil every time you drive it. I'm just saying there are maintenance standards for any machine that a lot of people do not care about. And when it came to firearms, Lash was someone who did care about this stuff.
Oh, thank you for bringing us back.
We brought it back. I know that was some parkour on our part. Not really. No, it was fun. And you made a great point about how crappy the roads are here in Atlanta. They literally pay a guy to just go put metal plates out.
Like 3 inches above the ground.
Right. Which is like in and of itself almost more dangerous than the freaking pothole.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you guys about the hubcap anomaly that was up the street from my place?
No.
I was trying to figure out for the longest time. I thought it was a weird performance art thing because there was this like growing pyramid of hubcaps on the corner of the street next to me or very close to it. I was walking somewhere one day and then I finally found the mystery. There was a small but deep hole in the road and like a weird curve thing or something, but I was walking by and a hubcap flew off. Like a little, you know, these are newer cars. So these little plasticky hubcaps, right? So they're frisbees almost. This thing kind of like went bump and then fell near this pyramid of hubcaps. So I think somebody was just happening along and kind of gathering them up. But I should have taken a picture. It was epic. They actually fixed the road. Well, they put a metal plate on there. I think they'll get to fixing it later. This has nothing to do with Jeffrey Lash.
I'm going to put my money that they all rolled. They all hit that one, whatever that one thing was, and they all rolled to that one place just because that's the nature of them.
That would be beautiful. If hubcaps, like the majority of people, seek the company of their own, you know, that would be inspiring. That's a very Pixar hubcap we've just created.
Hey, guys, guess what? Yeah. Transition. Hey, was this dude a spy?
He sure wanted people to think so. But what if he were more than a spy, Matt? No.
More than a spy?
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean?
More than meets the eye. What if he were an alien? So remember how he said
I thought you were going to say Transformer.
Yeah, I was hoping so too. Dang it.
What if you were a Transformer? Matt, I was thinking about this. Your Optimus Prime extremism is something I can't forget now, ever since our conversation.
Optimus Prime extremism? Yeah. No, I've already forgotten it. So
well, you look at it, you're like, I look at, we're talking about trucks, faces, vehicles with faces.
Oh, yes.
You said, no, when I look at a truck, I wonder if it's Optimus Prime or something that's like that. Right. Okay. But anyway, this show is sponsored by Transformers.
Really quickly, I don't see the benefit of being able to turn into a truck. I just don't see the tactical benefits. Being a robot seems way cooler and more versatile. Turning into a truck seems like a downgrade.
Well, they had to do that because otherwise the humans would find out the secret, yeah, which is that they live among us.
And they all had to have dealer plates. That was one of the tricks of the Transformers.
There it is. So we don't know if Transformers are a sponsor of today's podcast, but let's pause and find out together.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so
there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nope.
Not this time. Well, the reason I think we're laughing here is because how stupidly hilarious would it be if there was like a Transformers movie that we didn't know about and that was just the ad?
In 2024, somebody is going to listen to this episode and there will be some kind of Transformers integration. And I'm so excited for you. I'm glad you heard that.
Yeah, that one was for you specifically. So we left on a bit of a cliffhanger, right? An alien? What are you talking about? Remember how we said that Catherine Nebron-Gorin left, she skedaddled to Oregon to ditch the heat after Lash's death. And this was per his instructions, as she has claimed. And we said she took an employee along with her. This is one Dawn Vadbunker. Dawn Marie Vadbunker, I believe. She briefly went missing in Oregon after Lash's death. And a lot of what we know about Dawn's position comes from her mother, Laura Vadbunker, who was very worried about her daughter. In a brief bit of good news, Dawn Vadbunker turned out to be fine. She was just off the grid for a little while.
Yeah. And both of these women, at least it seems, according to statements, fully believed Jeffrey Allen Lash's stories about being a spy or working for a government agency of some sort and needing to protect his privacy in some way. But that's not all they believed about him. According to their stories, they believed he was a human-alien hybrid.
Cool. What does that even consist? So that's sort of like a human-alien hybrid. Does that mean like the spawn of an alien and a human's relations? Some sort of genetically engineered lab-grown creature?
A combination of DNA, right? Of some sort. Part of it was human, part was not. And this is all coming from Laura Vadbunker, the mother of Dawn, the younger woman who was there in Oregon. She said that this was a genuine belief that was held by her daughter. And apparently, according to the stories that they were told that they believed, Jeffrey Allen Lash was sent to the Earth to protect it, to protect humanity, essentially.
Yeah, in some nebulous way that he could not explicitly detail, right? Which is a key part of these sorts of, trying to be diplomatic, explanations.
Yeah. I'm getting flashbacks of the story that just broke the week that we're recording this. About all mother.
Mm-hmm. About mother love. Yeah, we, I guess we should address that. We record those strange news segments about a week before they air. Mm-hmm. And that's just the system that Noel, Matt, and our team has worked out. So when we recorded this, we did predict that it was an unsustainable situation. We knew something would probably happen. Something does often with these organizations, but we did not know it would happen so soon. And, you know, whether or not you agree with somebody's spiritual beliefs, the truth is no one knows the answer, or no one has been able to convince the rest of the world they know the answer. So you have to think of everyone as human beings and exercise empathy. So our thoughts are with these people. During this incredibly difficult time, as well as the survivors. What are we talking about? Well, just a few days after we mentioned the existence of the Love Has Won cult, news emerged that their leader, Matt, referring to as All Mother, Mother Love, Amy Carlson, had passed away and been mummified.
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful. Believe what you would like, but never hesitate to reach out if you feel like you or one of your family members is being held by one of those organizations against your will. That's a very weird time to put in that PSA, but I think...
Well, it's not that weird because Dawn... Some of the women involved in Jeffrey Allen Lash's life were doing things that may seem bizarre to some of us.
Yeah, because, you know, it's kind of like... I never thought I'd say it this way. This is not a ding on Scientology. This is not a ding on Scientology. Just repeating that for the lawyers, for our legal team. When you hear people say stuff that sounds really outlandish, and you know that they are reasonable, intelligent people, it's easy to dismiss them dismiss those beliefs because we don't know how they arrived at that. It's always an incremental sort of education. Right? Indoctrination is a better word. So if you hear somebody say, here are the, like, when we learned the inner workings of Scientology or the inner belief system of that organization, thanks to WikiLeaks, we thought it was crazy, right? We thought this was very outlandish, but we also could tell that people don't learn this all at once. They learn it in a way that leverages what's called the sunk cost fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time you start hearing this other stuff, you've already been primed for it, which you talked about earlier, and everything seems just like a little step further. It's never a bridge too far. And that's how you end up like Don Vadbunker, who said, yes, he's sent to Earth to protect us. He's part human. He's part alien. He is also working for the government. I was originally hired by Catherine Nebron to manage some of the properties she owned in the area. But then I finally met Lash. She didn't meet either Catherine or Jeffrey for a long time. She was working remotely. But when she did, she was taken in by a story. She started following a diet. We mentioned specific diets earlier. Noel, you were talking about your piano teacher in part one. Dawn gives up smoking and she starts doing the Lash diet. Heavy on raw meat, weird raw meat too, like raw bison. Her mom is saying she's drinking all these gross juices. She told her mother that she was doing this because Lash was helping her turn into an alien hybrid herself.
That's, yes, an interesting notion of using your diet with very earthly foods to turn into, you know, an extraterrestrial hybrid.
Then again, sounds outlandish, but we have to realize, you know, this is an intelligent person. There is a context. There is a chain of indoctrination that led her to that. And that's not all she said. She gave us a little more information about what Lash's top secret projects were at the moment.
Yeah. She said that Lash was assisting the government with these operations on the computer all night, like that he would just stay up and do whatever he was doing on his machine. Then he would travel to different solar systems and planets through the mechanisms of the computer, through the chips, whatever is on there, through the networks. He would somehow, astrally or otherwise, travel throughout the galaxy.
Cool. I mean, good gig if you can get it, right?
Oh, yeah. Presumably one of his 12 cars, you know, had some sort of interdimensional travel mods.
Love it.
Yes. I would like to think that. I would very much like to think that.
Was it a Tesla? Oh, no, that was 2015. So it was probably a Saturn.
It was a Saturn. So, all right, going back to these attorneys, right? The attorneys are very much like they definitely have a horse in the race. They have an angle. They're representing clients. But they're also trying to stick to the letter of the law and the things that they can prove, that they can confirm. That's why it's interesting that several of the attorneys connected to Jeffrey Allen Lash found the idea of him being a spy laughable. Ha ha ha, LMAO, they would say. But there's an interesting problem there. None of the attorneys related to Lash in any way have been able to confirm that they actually knew what it was he did for a living. As we said, Harlan Braun did not believe that Lash was selling guns or drugs, but he was also baffled. He noted that Lash, quote, could have been working for anyone. It's hard to imagine, however, that it's a total figment of his imagination because there's so much money involved. There's almost $5 million worth of guns that were taken by the police. And then this led him to conclude something that I'm sure has been on all of our minds through part one and up to now, led him to conclude the following. The real problem is if he was working for a government agency or foreign, they would never corroborate.
Ooh. American or foreign agency, they wouldn't corroborate it. That makes a lot of sense, right? If he's so deep undercover for another government or another spy agency that's outside of the U.S., why would anybody admit that that's what he was doing? Especially if he was providing them with, you know, high-level intelligence somehow. I don't know. If he was an American agent, I don't know, dude. I'm really wondering, like, how often agents are, like, deceased agents are mentioned or even... If they're undercover, I guess, if they're ever mentioned by, you know, or acknowledged by an agency.
Well, it depends, you know, because we talked about SOV in Vietnam. They had an explicit understanding that if things went sideways, they didn't exist, you know. But that's a foreign agent in Vietnam. This would be a U.S. agent in the U.S. operating domestically, except when he's in space. And running what he claimed was a really big company toward the end, leading into the events of July, we'll find that he was talking to another woman and he was a little bit more, oddly enough, a little bit more specific. Like his story was the same, but he was clearly evolving it as we move from victim to victim, which is what I think is happening, just as a spoiler. And that leads us to something else. You know, there is money. The money is real. Somebody bought the guns. They didn't get paid in like space stories. So what if the cash came from a more mundane source? There may be another conspiracy afoot. There are indications that Lash was, if nothing else, Seth, can we get some smooth music? There we are. A little bit of a Lothario. A ladies' man.
And hold that sexy music for a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with all the juicy details.
Let me get some of this Courvoisier reference.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to The Quiet Storm. Kidding, this is still stuff they don't want you to know. We are back from the break. What are we talking about with Lash? Well, he had no shortage of lovers, paramours, girlfriends. And this leads some people, including your faithful correspondent, honestly, to speculate that he was little more than a con artist. He told one of his lovers, Michelle Lyons, that he had been in a relationship with since before he's hanging out with Catherine. He told her that he was a former government agent. He had top secret security clearance. And he said, you know, I've got a rap sheet pretty much. Over my time, I've performed counterterrorism operations. I've rescued hostages. I've done anti-harassment missions. And yeah, you know, I rescued a couple people from cults. What of it? Now I'm on a mission to save the world.
Because I'm an alien human hybrid.
An alien humanoid hybrid super space secret spy.
And I have become strange.
I am become strange. yeah, I would say all of these things add up to definitely becoming strange. I wonder if it's one of these things where it's like, you know, science fiction, of course, is where my brain goes with this kind of stuff. But like the idea of maybe slowly metamorphosing, that's not a word, morphing into an alien human hybrid. Like maybe he started off purely human and then through some sort of event, you know, like a Hulk type event, perhaps he was perhaps bombarded with some kind of, you know, alien rays. And then he received, he kind of like got that DNA that sort of like, you know, grafted on to his DNA.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. So some early secret version of CRISPR was used to take.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for putting science-y words to my absolutely outlandish fictional proposition.
No, it's perfect. But I think we're on to something. Between this and the elevator, we are killing it on spec scripts and synopses. What? Elevators?
Elevator.
Yeah, because the devil like goes down to earth and then later there's a whole mythology. I've been working on the Bible for the show. Anyway.
Look, I get it. The Game Show Network gets it. We're on the same page.
Yeah. Well, it's there's a tie-in, yes, but I feel like you didn't read the email. So we're kidding. We're at least 40% kidding. Lash had more than a few eccentricities, and this was very clear to Michelle. He seemed to be a neat freak. He definitely didn't want her to touch his stuff. As we said earlier, he had a hard ban on people taking his photograph. Michelle knew that he had credit cards, but he always paid in cash. And in 1987, she buys a 3-bedroom condo in Santa Monica. Lash enters the place. He starts living there. He takes over one bedroom entirely. He locks it. And just like that, remember that old pirate myth? Was it Bluebeard, I think? He forbids her from ever entering. He's got a lock and key system. He's like, hey, we're cool as long as this room just doesn't exist.
Wow.
Okay? And I never want to see it in there. We're never going to talk about it. And maybe she said, what if I ask about it? And then he probably had like one of those Dennis Reynolds smiles. And he's like, don't ask about it.
Jesus. I wonder if he had like, you know, in 87, he probably had 100 guns, you know, like in one bedroom. You could probably put 100 guns in a bedroom.
Yeah. You need a gun rack, mm-hmm. you know, of some sort.
You just kind of like stand them up in a corner, right? One goes in and then you just start pyramiding them out like hubcaps.
I just kind of go back to hubcaps and just hope that this terrible plan doesn't go awry. That there's, oh man. Yeah. Yeah, you could do it. But the point is she has no idea. She doesn't know what's in there. And there's this excellent article by the Hollywood Reporter that we may have mentioned in part one. Some of the best reporting on this was Hollywood Reporter and Playboy. And according to this story by Scott Johnson, which we highly recommend reading, we know that Lash was telling multiple versions of a story to multiple women, right? And there's a bizarre rundown of the stuff he would tell Michelle Lyons and tell his other girlfriends. He would say he's a member of anti-terror team that he refers to as his upper staff. So he had his own A-team, basically. And they were brave and lethal. And most importantly, they were super loyal to Lash. If anyone stood in his way, contradicted him, harmed him, his team would come after them and kill them. This is him trying to be kind of, you know, edgelordy, right? If it's not true, I guess we have to say that. If it's not true, it's him being edgelordy and manipulative, but it's also threatening because he had a temper problem and he was physically abusive to some of these women.
And Lyons never came into contact with any of these A-team members. She didn't speak with any of them on the phone. But again, like, it's that threat. I guess it occurred so often in their relationship, this threat of these other people, that it just made it feel very, very real to Lyons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when you're acting with limited information, you don't know, like, how can you find this out? You don't have the internet at this point, right? You have to do your best in person to suss out what's happening. And again, it's the incremental indoctrination that is key here. He also says that he knows a psychic. Her name is Tara. And he can't say much about her because he had to teach her to go dark and live off the grid for national security reasons.
Yeah.
This guy seems to complicate the lives of everyone he encounters.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. Because here's the thing, he's living with Lyons in this condo she bought. He's got the room that doth not exist with all his guns, I think, probably all his guns stashed in it. And he has somehow gotten Lyons to pay for everything.
Right.
Like everything. Not just the condo and rent, the food, the supplies, whatever those may be for any interact or, you know, for going out to the park. She's getting whatever they need for the picnic, entertainment, everything.
I mean, this seems like a grift of his, though, right? Like, I imagine it maybe even happened more times than we have on record, because he literally, like I asked at the top of the show, like, how the hell is this even possible? But Lash continued to be supported for a time by Lyons, even after moving out and into this other condo with Nebron Gorin, with her husband at the time, and then somehow strong-arming him out of the picture. Seems like a real, you know, manipulative con artist.
Well, you exactly. See, he can't use any of his own money. He would get exposed.
It's like about the mission.
Yeah, they can track serial numbers on this cash. We can use the cash sometimes, but only when we absolutely have to.
So what do you, I mean, is he totally insane? I mean, there's obviously real information and real stuff to back up that something weird is going on with this guy. But he sure seems to have delusions of grandeur and obviously is a total grifter and manipulator. It's mind-boggling.
Yes. Yeah. He was a taker. He was reciprocating by spinning tales and helping, making people think they were part of something bigger, which is a brilliant way to get people to be your thralls. So things aren't going well at the DeBron household. He is worried about what might happen to his guns now that he's taken over their house. He's put them in a really weird situation. These people who own this house, by the way, are having to go shower at their neighbor's place because he's stuffed it with so much junk and restricted the areas of their own house where they can actually live. Because of the guns, he shut down the water in their condo. That's the reason they had to go shower other places. He also needed a special chef for his diet. The chef costs about $1,785 a week. He did not pay for that. Lyons also bought two healing frequency machines. That's $12,000 a piece. Then another $9,800 a year in storage fees for like more than a decade. She estimates that she shelled out about $1.8 million. So this is another pretty well-to-do woman that is being manipulated by this guy. He becomes more and more extreme. He's physically abusive. Goran, we said they divorced earlier, was convinced that Lash was the real deal. However, he said in 2016, he said Lash put a gun against his head and demanded that Goran continued to give him the cash he needed to carry out his missions, and says that he gave this guy something around $2.5 million.
What?
Yep. And then after they divorced, Nebron took up with Lash, eventually becoming his fiance without the knowledge of Michelle Lyons, who thought they were still dating. So full circle back, Ouroboros, this to part one. Michelle has finally had enough. She's been trying. She's very close friends with Catherine, by the way. And she's been trying to call her to see what's up with her boyfriend. No one's picking up the phone. This radio silence is distressing. Eventually, in a moment of desperation, she decides she's going to break into that locked room. And it's not what she expected.
That's right. It was essentially like an episode of that super depressing reality show Hoarders. Lyons began to sift through just absolute piles of stuff, looking for some clue as to what this dude was all about. But she found evidence not of any kind of government work, but of other women, at least six other women in addition to her and Nebron. So we're talking things like love letters, photographs, an audio cassette that one of his former lovers had made for him, assuming like a mixtape, five or six women whose names Lyons found in this stash were still alive. So she began to contact them and eventually reached out to four. So these were not the only examples of this grift that Lash pulled. Because all of these stories were identical to her own. Lash had swooped in and completely hijacked their relationship using a variety of psychological manipulation tactics. He, got them to pay for everything, cheated them out of their money, completely took advantage of their goodwill. Ben, you mentioned at the top of the show or one of the episodes how someone like Nebron Goran could have been a very easy mark for many reasons. And it appears that he knew exactly the criteria of what he was looking for in such a mark.
Right. Which does, importantly, does not mean that he did not believe his own story. He could have been having what we'll call a Merlin moment. And the Lash stash was real. He did have over $200,000 in his house. So he may have been a bit of a remora, just attaching himself to the lives of these people and intimidating them. Some of these women told Michelle they had a very real fear that if they did not comply, he would kill them or have them killed. How did this all shake out? Well, We'll tell you a legal battle between Lash's lovers and relatives ensued over the seized goods after his death. He left no will. That's a paper trail, right? So his only relatives were these estranged cousins. They were set to inherit his fortune, which was, they were mainly thinking in terms of the guns. They were like, that's $5 million just for the guns. According to their lawyer, the cousins planned to have the weapons destroyed to send a message about guns in the U.S. instead of being sold. And again, all the guns are clean. Yeah, they're legally purchased.
Send a message.
Yeah, they wanted to, because they were worried about that many, they were worried about those guns getting out on the street.
I see, getting and, ending up in the wrong hands. Got it.
Yeah, what are they doing? You start a museum on the side of 400, and it's Bigfoot and guns. God.
I am in. I will take the elevator to Bigfoot and guns. Yeah, I'm on board. So this is a problem because several of the women involved with Lash have their own lawsuits, Nebron and Lyons in specific. They're seeking compensation for the millions of dollars they've spent supporting this guy over the years. The coroner eventually concludes that Lash died at age 60 of natural causes due to a cardiovascular condition. But the problem is his corpse was so decomposed by 2 weeks of summer heat that it was tough to conclude what was happening to him in his final years. Yes, in certain cases, some diseases like cancer, maybe ALS, can cause you to have psychotic breaks and hallucinations. But the thing is, his story went on so long and was seemingly so well thought out and calculated that you can't really explain it, right? Just by saying he had a medical condition that was messing with his cognition. To your earlier point, Matt, about having a criminal record. He had none. He was squeaky clean. That in itself can be suspicious because if you want good cover, then you want to have some warts, right? You want to have some wrinkles that makes it look more realistic, which is why when you do a CGI image of a person, you want to have a slight asymmetry, right? Because they look more like a person. It's true.
Yeah. Otherwise, you get that uncanny valley effect, which I think you could apply that same terms to like a weirdly squeaky clean record. It starts to feel like not a real person or like it was, you know, wiped in some way. That's always a red flag in, mystery type shows or procedural cop dramas when they look up a person of interest and there's nothing about them. Super sketchy.
Yeah. And none of the agencies that exist have acknowledged any sort of interaction with Lash or any work that Lash had ever done for any of them. So that's kind of a dead end unless, again, they're keeping it under wraps for one reason or another.
Which is possible. But you would think that if that were the case, this wouldn't be in the news as much as it was in 2015. Also, side tip, if you want to get off the grid and you don't want people to know where you're going for a certain period of time or any amount of time, one good thing to do is to have a friend take your main phone and just drive it around with them wherever they go while you're gone for the weekend or the week or whatever. Can't officially tell you that it works.
Just have them plug it in their car, by the way. That's how you do it. Like have a charger in their car, leave it charged at all times in their car.
To create the illusion of your normal goings on and movements that you haven't left and you know that you're like just still doing your thing.
Mm-hmm. Again, we can't officially tell you that it works and it's crazy how easily you can do it.
And make sure location services are on and significant places are turned on too. Anyway.
Hypothetically. So what was Lash up to? Where did the money come from? Was it all from his victims? If victims they were, was he a con man? Was he an aspiring cult leader? Was he an alien? For now, that appears set to remain the stuff Jeffrey Allen Lash doesn't want you to know. Real people's lives were affected and damaged by his actions. But as we've established, we don't have enough info to say whether he truly believed what he was doing, but those questions remain unanswered. Where did the money come from? What changed about his life? This is a fascinating case, and we want to hear what you think, folks.
Definitely. Also, record conversations with yourself and your friend, and then have your friend play them back on the radio while you're driving around with your phone plugged in.
Perfect is the enemy of good, Matt. Perfect is the enemy of good.
Okay. All right. So you can reach us all over social media. We are Conspiracy Stuff on Twitter and Facebook. We are Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram. You can find our Facebook page. Here's Where It Gets Crazy. That's our group where you and all other conspiracy realists can hang out, chat about this episode, any other episode, any topic you want to. If you want to join, all you have to do is name one of us who is talking to you during this episode, or Seth Shadow Johnson, or any of our other super producers. Just name one of us or make us laugh and you can get in.
That's right. Also, while you're at it, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. 5-star review would mean the world to us, and also helps people discover the show and helps it inch up in those Apple Podcast rankings, which I believe we are sitting at a nice solid 166 or so out of like all podcasts, which I think is pretty cool. And thank you, Conspiracy Realist, for helping make that happen.
And if you're someone who feels the way about social media that Jeffrey Alan Lash felt about photography, never fear. You can contact us the way he used to contact his lawyers. Just dial us on the phone. It doesn't have to be once a day. You can call
us. It does have to be from a payphone, though. That's required.
Yeah, or a burner. We'll also accept a burner. So that number is 1-833-STDWYTK. 3 minutes. Those 3 minutes are yours. Give yourself a cool nickname. Let us know if it's okay to use your name and voice on air. And tell us what's on your mind. Hip us to some topics you think your fellow conspiracy realists would enjoy. If you say, Ben, that's malarkey. Joe Biden doesn't own that word. We can all use it.
Yeah, of course.
If you say, Ben, that's crazy, you yourself have talked at length about how much you hate phones. Why would you try to convince me to call you on a phone? Why would you do this to either of us? That's a great question. Not everybody loves phones, but there is one way that you can always contact us, regardless of how you feel about social media, how you feel about Jeffrey Alan Lash, how you feel about phone calls. That's our good old-fashioned email address, where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.